Good morning. It's good to be with you, good brethren here at Oakwood Road. I've been looking forward to this series of lessons for a long time, and I'm glad that I can finally be with you today and really appreciate your presence this morning. I'll have a few more things to say in the next hour about where I'm from and all those kind of introductory things, so I'll reserve that for that time. We'll go ahead and get into our Bible class this morning, but I wanted to thank you for the opportunity to be with you part of this week. If you'd like to turn in your Bibles this morning to Nehemiah chapter 8 in the Old Testament, Nehemiah chapter 8, we're going to look this morning at the right approach to our Bible. When I was young, it was very common for people to read their Bible on a regular basis. Not so much today. The current statistics, the American Bible Society puts out statistics every year called the State of the Bible. And in their report this year, the State of the Bible 2025, they observe that about 40% of Americans refer to their Bible a few times a year. 40% will kind of open their Bible, look at their Bible a few times a year. About 20% of Americans believe that it's actually the Word of God. And the number gets even lower, less than 10% of people who turn to the Bible on a regular basis for their guide. It's just not popular today to have the Bible in your life. And so this morning I wanted to talk about the right approach to the Bible. Typically when I have an opportunity to have a gospel meeting with my brethren during the Bible class portion on Sunday morning, I try to do something with regard to Bible study, because that's when we come together to study the Bible. So our lesson this morning is going to encourage us to do better and have a better approach to our Bible study. And especially, I like to see the young people here and the younger generations. We want to learn how to have a good approach toward our Bible. And Nehemiah chapter 8 is going to help us to do that. So this morning, we're going to consider the right approach to the Bible. You know, a lot of times, like I just said, some people will just not have the Bible in their life. Some people have little to no Bible reading. 40% will look at their Bible just a few times a year. That's pretty sad. And so we need to make sure that we have a good attitude toward the Word of God in our lives. Hosea said, "My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge." And that'll certainly happen to us today if we're not careful. We will be destroyed spiritually if we don't have the Word of God in our life. Some people, like the Jews, when Paul was in Antioch in Acts 13, 27, he was preaching in the synagogue. And the scripture says there that Moses was read every Sabbath in the synagogue. But they did not know Jesus. They did not know the coming of the Messiah. So some people can read the Bible all day long, but that doesn't mean that they necessarily comprehend it. And of course, there are those, Peter says in 2 Peter 3:16, that twist the scriptures to their own destruction. So some people read the Bible, but they end up misinterpreting it, and they twist it to their own destruction. So there's all kinds of approaches to the Word of God today. We want the correct or proper approach. So this morning, we're going to use an Old Testament story in Nehemiah chapter 8 to help us to make sure that we have the proper approach. And it's basically this. It's simply this. The proper approach to our Bible is threefold. Number one, we need to be reading it on a regular basis. Number two, we need to be interpreting it or understanding it. And number three, we need to be applying it. So we have not approached our Bible correctly if we don't read it, if we don't interpret it, and if we don't apply it. So that's what we're going to be looking at today. Now, this lesson is for Jason and I, and those who are proclaiming the Word of God. We need to have a good approach to the Word of God. I'm a little fearful today that maybe some younger preachers are not reading their Bible as they should. They're reading a lot of other things. This is also for Bible class teachers to read and to interpret and then to apply. It's for those of us who are Bible students just at home. I'm just reading my Bible at home. Read it, interpret it properly, apply it. It's for me when I'm doing my personal Bible reading. So this is not just something of a high level where it's just for men who are going to be preaching and teaching. It's for all of us. It's for all of us. Just reading, understanding, and applying the Word of God. So this morning we're going to use Nehemiah chapter 8 to do that very thing. And you're also going to see some slides here this morning that give us some practical applications. Now, I'm moving through this material. Some of it I will move through rapidly, and I see some of you taking notes, which I appreciate. I'm going to leave a paper copy of this lesson, all of these lessons, with Jason, and he or one of the men can make copies for you. They'll also be on my website. You'll see that opening slide there. You can get that material there as well. And I apologize if I go through some of this rapidly, but just moving along because of sake of time. When we go down through Nehemiah chapter 8, I'll just go ahead and give you the outline in advance. What we're going to see here is, in verses 1 through 6, there was the reading of the Word of God. In verses 7 and 8, there was the interpreting or the explaining of the Word of God. And in verses 9 through the end of the chapter, the applying of the Word of God. So verses 1 through 6, the reading of the Word of God. Verses 7 and 8, the interpreting or the explaining of the Word of God. And then 9 through 18, the applying of the Word of God. And here's the point, brethren. We have not approached the Bible correctly if we're missing one of those three things. If we're missing one of those three things, we have not approached our Bible correctly. So that's what we want to do in our life. In reading the Word of God, we ask the question, what does my Bible say? In interpreting the Word of God, we ask the question, what does my Bible mean? And in applying the Scripture, we ask the question, how do I carry out this message in my life today? So let's look at it this morning. In order to examine the Word of God, you need to keep your eyes open. In order to interpret the Word of God, you need to keep your mind open. And in order to apply the Word of God, you need to keep your heart open. Do I really want to do what God is telling me to do? So three open things. Every time I open my Bible, I need to open three things in my life. My eyes, my mind, and my heart. That's the proper approach to the Word of God. So let's look at it. Let's read verses 1 through 6. This is God's people who came back from the Babylonian captivity. In the book of Ezra, they have rebuilt the temple. And in the book of Nehemiah, the first seven chapters, they have rebuilt the walls. And so now it's time for this grand worship service. Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 1. And all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the broad place that was before the water gate. And they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which Jehovah had commanded to Israel. And Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly, both men and women, and all that could hear with understanding, upon the first day of the seventh month. And he read therein before the broad gate that was before the water gate, from early morning until midday, in the presence of the men and the women, and all that could understand. Even the children were there, like here this morning. And the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. And Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit of wood which they had made for the purpose. And beside him stood Mattathiah and Shema and Naiah and Uriah and Hilkiah and Maaseiah. And on the right hand and on his left hand, Pedaiah and Mishael and Malchijah and Hashem and Hashbadana and Zechariah and Meshullam. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. There's your reverence and respect for the Word of God. And Ezra blessed Jehovah, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen, Amen. And with the lifting up of their hands, they bowed their heads and worshiped Jehovah with their faces to the ground. And so first of all, there was the reading of the Word of God. He read the Word of God, verse 3, from early morning until midday. We've got to have Bible reading on a regular basis in our lifetime. Examining and reading the Bible is important. What happens today, brethren and friends, is we've got too much going on. We've got work and school and after school projects and hobbies and sports and all that kind of thing. And there's nothing wrong with those things individually, but if we're not careful, those things start crowding out our life and we have little to no Bible in our life except maybe what we get here at the building. And I'm telling you, that's not enough. That is not enough. We've got to have more and more in our lives. When I was young, I was blessed to have parents who were who wanted to have daily Bible reading in our lives. And I am what I am today in part because of that. Every morning after breakfast, our Bibles were on a little table right beside the kitchen table. And every morning right after breakfast, we would read one chapter in the Bible every day. I don't know how many times in my life we went from Genesis to Revelation all the way through the Word of God by reading one chapter a day every morning after breakfast. And there were times, I remember one time when the school bus was coming, I could hear it coming down the road. And I said to my dad, hey, I've got to go. I got to get on the school bus. He said, you sit down. I said, no, you don't understand. I got to go. He said, no, you don't understand. You sit down. We're going to read a chapter in the Bible. We haven't read it yet. And I said, well, I'm going to miss the school bus. He said, well, we'll figure that out later. And so I sat there and we read the Word of God. The school bus went by. He took me to school and he said, you need to get ready earlier. I don't want to be doing this again. You need to get yourself ready. We're not going to skip the Word of God, in other words. And so we've got to have that. And let me encourage parents here today with children or grandchildren to try to have a regular Bible reading in your life. The eunuch was reading as he was going along the way. And Paul tells Timothy that there needs to be the public reading of Scripture. And so we've got to read. So let me offer a few quick, again, I apologize for the rapid speed of this. But let me offer a few practical applications. One thing that I want you to know about me this week is I'm a very practical person. I don't like to speak in theory or just hypotheticals. So when I make a point, I try to give us some actual things that we can do each day to put that into practice in our life. So let me suggest a few things. First of all, very, very busy world that we're in, a lot of noise. Find a quiet time and place to read the Word of God. Have a daily plan. You can use a formal plan that is printed out that takes you through the Bible in a year or something, or just make up your own plan. It doesn't matter. But the point is, have a regular time for reading the Word of God. Read from a traditional Bible. I have a Bible app on my phone, and I will use it from time to time. That's kind of helpful if you're in a pinch. But one thing that I suggest with regard to this is if you have a traditional Bible, it's a little bit easier to see what is going on in a bigger picture on the page rather than just one little thing on your screen. And so if you can use a traditional Bible reading or a traditional Bible at home to read, I think you'll profit from that better. Read slowly and clearly, and you can read out loud. Do you know that when Philip came up on the chariot there in Acts 8, the text says he heard the eunuch reading. He heard him. So reading out loud actually helps you. You can hear those words. It actually helps you to slow down a little bit. If you're reading by just sight, you kind of speed through it. If you're actually speaking the words out loud, and of course, if your children are nearby, they can hear that. That is very good. And by the way, on that note, just like back in the 1800s, they used the Bible to learn how to read. Your children will learn how to read if you'll let them read out loud at home in your daily Bible reading or your grandchildren. It actually works. And when I was little, Dad would make me read, and I would mispronounce words, and he'd say, stop, whoa, wait a minute, go back, say that again, here's how you say it. And so I was actually learning English along the way, and maybe you don't really realize that. But read out loud, that's helpful. Repeat what you read. You could read a verse and you could read it again. That will help it to sink in. Read a unit of Scripture. I've got YouVersion on my phone and it gives me the verse of the day. Maybe some of you have a Bible app and that's great. The problem with that is we tend to just read one verse. we don't read the context. We don't read what's above, and we don't read what's below. In fact, sometimes it's literally right in the middle of a thought, and we're sort of training ourselves and conditioning ourselves to be just these little segments here and there. And I think that's good, sort of like on the spur of the moment, or to have something maybe brief to look at. And I'm not opposed to that. I tend to look at my verse of the day, but I've also been trained that you need to look at least at the paragraph, at least at the broader thought there. This is good. Verse and chapter divisions were put in our Bibles by men somewhere in the 1200s AD. It's something that came along later just to help people. You can skip that and read a full thought. And sometimes that crosses over a chapter into some other, what we call chapter. And so be willing to ignore that. Crossway, who produces the ESV, some of you are familiar with that. They are actually publishing Bibles now without chapter and verse divisions in it to train you to read more of broader sections that go together. Chapters and verses tend to, again, break up little things, and we don't get the big picture. Read a complete phrase within a sentence or a verse. Instead of just really chopping it up, read through the full phrase or the full sentence. Pause at a comma or a period. Read from different reliable translations, those that are literal, word-for-word translations. That's very helpful. When we read from the looser paraphrases, we don't get the original meaning. Read with others. That's always good. Husbands and wives, sometimes Sherry and I, we've read before and we'll take turns back and forth. That's always an encouraging thing. If you do have something like YouVersion on your phone, listening to Scripture is also good. Reading it is good. And then if you're in the car, especially if you're on a longer trip or you have a commute to work, just hearing those words and those concepts and those phrases is a very good thing. And then, of course, pray after you read. Lord, help me to put this into practice in my life. We don't want just reading for reading's sake. So the first thing they did was read the Word of God. Look with me now at verses 7 and 8. That should be verses 7 and 8. Now we have the explaining of the Word of God. So the first one is, what does my Bible say? The second one is, what does my Bible mean? I've not completed the process by just reading. I need to read it, and then I need to ask myself, what does all this mean? Okay? So verses 7 and 8, these individuals that are listed here, and they were with the Levites. Verse 7, they caused the people to understand the law, and the people stood in their place. Underscore in your Bible the word understand. I've not completed by just reading. I need to read my Bible and understand it. And they read in the book of the law distinctly. Literally, the word means with an interpretation. And they gave the sense. Underscore that in your Bible. We've got to explain what verses mean. That's not just for the preacher. That's not just for the Bible class teacher. That's for all of us. When I read something, I need to ask myself, okay, I've seen what it says. Now, what does it mean? Okay? And these men helped the people there to understand. And so again, latter part of verse 8, so they understood the reading. That's the second step that we need to take. So the first one is examination. The second one is interpretation. Okay? Jesus said in Mark 13, 14, when you read, you will understand. Paul said, you will understand when you read. Okay, and Philip, that's Ephesians 3, 4, and Philip said to the eunuch, understandest, the old King James, understandest what thou readest. We don't talk like that today. Try that at Walmart sometime. Understandest what thou readest, the old King James. So do we understand what we are reading? If the answer's no, then we need to stick with that until we understand what we are reading. Okay, so a few suggestions. Here's where we might do a word study. What does this word mean? What is the grammar? Is this a noun? Is this a verb? Is this an adjective, an adverb? What is this? Just basic English that we all learned in school. Okay? This is very important. What is the context? What's above and what's below? Again, the Bible app will often give us a verse of the day, which is great. I do like that. But I've also trained myself, okay, I need to go back and also look at what's above and what's below. We do that in our ordinary conversation. We do that with texts. We do that with emails. We want to know, well, what's above and what's below. It helps to fill out the meaning. This is just a great basic thing to do. Any verse that we're reading, try to answer these questions. Who is speaking? Who's the person? What is being said? When is this? What Bible time frame am I in? Where am I? Geography. Am I in Egypt? Am I in Palestine? Am I with Paul in Rome? How is this being relayed to me? Is this a parable? Is this poetry? Is this prophecy? Is this a narrative? Is this history? How is it being described to me? And why am I being told this? What good is this for me to learn this today? Just basic six questions there. We might want to do a background study. It might be the historical background or geography. Where am I at in the world? Is there a political background that deals with kings and rulers? When I'm reading about the scribes and Pharisees, who are those people? The Jews, the Gentiles, the Samaritans. What's the social background of what's going on here? So background studies are helpful. This is very simple. Just find out other Bible passages that deal with the same topic. All of these things are going to help us to interpret the Word of God. I list these four websites if you want to jot these down. When I was getting started preaching years ago, all the preacher boys would go to the bookstore and buy books and go buy a concordance and a Bible dictionary and Vine's expository dictionary. It was all about books that we needed to have in our library. Today, so much of that is now online, and you don't have to spend a lot of money on books like you used to. And so there are things that are helpful on these websites. And while I'm here this week, if any of you are interested in jumping on one of these websites and learning more about how to use them, I would enjoy sitting down with you, and we can sit down together, and I can walk you through some of these things. I use Bible Gateway a lot just as my concordance. I don't open up a Strong's Concordance anymore. I used to. Bible Gateway will search whatever word you want. That's always helpful. Bible Hub is really good for word studies, Greek and Hebrew word studies. BlueLetterBible.com and NetBible.org. NetBible has like 63,000 notes, just textual notes, over 63,000. It's amazing. Just little notes on manuscripts and what words mean and just parts of speech, just little notes, little helps. That's a very helpful website. So you don't have to have a lot of books anymore like you used to. These kinds of things can help us to learn. And when you see a slide like that, you might be thinking, well, you know, that's for preachers. It's actually for all of us. All of us can dig in a little bit, do a little bit more study, get below the surface a little bit more, and you will be so happy and rewarded after you dig in a little bit and learn more. It's just a really exciting process. It's what the old timers used to call mining the scriptures. We used to mine the scriptures. We need to do that even to this day. So in verses 7 and 8, the men, through teaching and explanation, they cause the people to understand. That's mentioned twice in the text, understanding. So, number one, there has to be the reading of the Word of God. Number two, there has to be the understanding of the Word of God. And by the way, with regard to our children's classes, let me encourage our teachers to do the same. Just the simple reading of the text to the children is very, very important. It doesn't matter if you're Noah's Ark, you know, or the baptism of Jesus, or the Judges, or wherever you're at, just reading a little bit of the Bible in the class is very, very important, because our children need to hear those words. They need to hear it straight out of the text. As you get smaller in age, I understand that you might have to have some visual aids or some things to keep them busy, but at the same time, let me encourage you, don't overlook just these fundamental things. Just reading from the Bible is very important, and explaining that. Years ago, my mother's passed away. She taught the Bible for years and years and years, and she wrote an article one time called Bible Class, Not Activities Class. And if we're not careful, it turns into an activities class. Well, here's something to color, and Bible hang man, and Bible crossword puzzle, but we're not actually learning the Bible. I'm not opposed to an activity, don't misunderstand me, but the activity needs to illustrate an actual lesson that comes from the Bible. And so, again, as a Bible class teacher, even for small children, I can be doing more just reading, more explaining, and that makes a really good class. Don't feel like you have to fill it with a bunch of activities. Fill it, if nothing else, with just reading the story. My wife right now, in fact, actually about right now, we're an hour difference, she teaches a class, and she's got, I think he's an eight-year-old. They're about eight-year-olds. And one of her main things that she does every Sunday with them is just read the story. Just read the story straight out of the Bible. And they're going through the life of Christ. I can't remember exactly where they are right now. Might be around the Sermon on the Mount or something. But she just makes sure she reads that to them, because they're not going to get it at home. A lot of them are not getting it at home, and they're not getting it on their own. And that's the only place where they're actually hearing the story read. That's not just simply to kill time or waste time. It's to make sure that that Bible reading is getting in their ears, because it will not maybe otherwise, depending on their home life. So just keep that in mind. So Bible reading, and then number two, Bible interpreting or explaining. And then come with me to verses 9 through 18. We've got to apply the word of God. And Nehemiah, who was the governor, and Ezra the priest, the scribe, and the Levites, verse 9, that taught the people, said unto all the people, this day is holy unto Jehovah your God. Mourn not nor weep, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat, and drink the sweet, and send portions unto him for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye grieved, for the joy of the Jehovah is your strength. So the Levites stilled all the people, saying, hold your peace, for the day is holy, neither be ye grieved. And all the people went their way to eat and to drink, and to send portions and to make great mirth, because they had understood the words that were declared unto them. Underscore in your Bible, verse 12, because they understood, they went out and did something. So there was reading first, then there was explaining, and then because they understood, there was doing. So reading, explaining, now there is the importance of doing, the application, okay? So look at verse 13. On the second day were gathered together the heads of the fathers' houses and all the people and the priests and the Levites unto Ezra the scribe, even to give attention to the words of the law. And they found written in the law how that Jehovah had commanded by Moses that the children of Israel should dwell in booths. This is the Feast of Tabernacles, to commemorate God's care for Israel as they wandered through the wilderness. So notice verse 14, they're reading, Moses commanded in this month to do this. We're in the seventh month. We need to get up and do this. We just read this. We need to get up and do it. And so notice, we're not just reading to be reading. We're reading and then saying, okay, I understand this. Now I need to get up and do it. So look at verse 16. The people went forth and brought them and made themselves booths, everyone upon the roof of his house. And the rest of the chapter there, the next couple of verses, talks about the Feast of Tabernacles. They read it, So now we're going to get up and do it. And so the people applied the word of God. So as we close this morning, application is necessary. Do you remember the lawyer who came to Jesus in Luke 10 and said, "Well, who is my neighbor?" And Jesus said, "Well, what does the law say? How do you read?" And he said, "Well, the law says to love your neighbor as yourself." And Jesus taught him what we call the parable of what? The Good Samaritan. What did Jesus say at the end of that parable of the Good Samaritan? Go and what? Do thou likewise. You've read the law. Now, you need to go up and do it. You need to go do it. And so reading and then doing. John, at the very beginning of a book that many people want to avoid, the book of Revelation, it's just a great encouragement to stay faithful to the Lord is basically all it is. Stay faithful to the Lord during persecution. That's Revelation in a nutshell. At the very beginning of the book, John writes, "Blessed is he that reads and does the words of in this book." He that reads and does them. So, at the very end of this process, we have to apply the word of God. So a couple of things before we close. How do I know if what I'm reading applies to me? Noah was told to build an ark. Am I supposed to go out and build an ark? How do I know? I'm reading somewhere. How do I know that this is for me? We're studying in the life of Christ in the adult Bible class at home, and we just went through, we're in Jesus' final week. Jesus says to two of the disciples, "Go and you'll find a man, and there will be a colt of an ass. Untie him and bring him." And he rides into Jerusalem. Well, are we supposed to do that? Are we supposed to go somewhere and find that? You know, at what point, how do we make decisions about, I'm reading in a verse from Genesis to Revelation, how do I know that this applies to me? Well, first of all, start with common sense. You know, is this being spoken to a person that is specific, like Noah, build an ark, or to all people? Examine the context. That'll help us to understand if it's for us today. Consider if this verse that I'm reading from Genesis to Revelation, does it have some timeless principle for all people, or is it just for a specific situation? And then consider if the same point is made elsewhere in the Bible, it's likely something for all mankind for all time. When I teach the adult Bible class at home, I'm writing questions right now for the book of Jeremiah. We'll be studying that later this year. At the end of every lesson, I have what's called applications for today. Well, I'm writing Jeremiah. How can we apply Jeremiah today? Well, it's obvious that if there are some verses where those same principles are mentioned all over the Bible, that's for us today. Okay? So just use some common sense there. And then last of all, I really need to be asking myself, how can I put this statement into practice today? Whether it's your verse of the day on your phone, or whether you're getting ready to teach the kids, or Jason's getting his sermon ready, or one of y'all is getting ready to teach the Bible class, or me just at home, you at home reading your Bible in the morning with a cup of coffee, I always need to close with this point. How can I put this into life in my practice today? Otherwise, literally, the whole thing's been wasted. I'm just wasting my time, and God is not getting into my life. So I hope that that will help. In Nehemiah chapter 1:1-6, get the reading of the Word of God in your life. And there may be some grandparents here this morning. My wife and I are grandparents. You might have to help with that regard. If you're a grandparent, you might have to help with that regard. Make sure your grandchildren have the Word of God in their lives. As parents, we need that. Husbands and wives reading the Word of God together at home. Now, when I was growing up, it was always every morning after breakfast. In my family, it worked better for us at night. So what we did was, every evening, right after supper, because I know that there's going to be homework for the kids, there's going to be this, I got to study for a test or whatever. So right after supper, we would clean off the table, we would all sit down and read. It didn't so right after supper, we all read one chapter every evening. You can find some time, whatever time that is for you. With your work schedule and school and family and this and that, find a time. But we can give God 5 minutes, sure. Every day we can give God 5 minutes. It doesn't take that long to read a chapter. Then, number two, let's make sure that we understand what we read. So a lot of times, before I let the kids go, I would just say, now, did y'all understand what we read? And one might raise their hand, well, Daddy, I'm not sure about such and such. And we would talk about that a little bit, and then I'd let them go. You got to read it. Number two, you got to understand it. And then from time to time, I would ask the kids, hey, are we actually following the Bible? We've got to be applying it in our lives. So I hope that that will help. Thank you for your time this morning.